Hi
Hello.
guys. So we could start by discussing the our thought process and how we arrived at
On this topic?
on this topic. So I think in the beginning we were thinking a lot about this idea of the body and of presence and what it means to have digital presence. And what it means to have that feeling of intimacy between a digital body and a human body. And I remember we were looking at the article that you found, Yewon, Dance Becoming Knowledge, Designing a Digital Body by James Leach and Scott De La Hunter. And we were looking at the ways in which the body is represented digitally, right? So I remember there was this study mentioned in this article that was about designing a digital body, in quotes, in contemporary dance practice through tailored digital choreographic objects. This actually kind of reminds me of a classmate of mine in processing who is a dancer, and she was creating shapes through a sketch in processing and then trying to mimic those shapes with her body. So it's about it was about connecting these digital shapes, the body mimicking the digital, the physical body mimicking digital shapes.
Yeah, so basically, Yewon, would you like to elaborate?
What was the process of finding this article? What were you looking for at the time?
I think in the beginning, I was inspired by this exhibit at the AI More Than Human exhibition at the Barbican, and then there's this one project that allows you to dance in front of a large screen, and there's a Kinect that tracks your body movement. So then you see a lot of people passing by, and they just move their body and see that mirror by a completely non-human object. And I think that gets me really into choreography and how like the movement of the dance kind of represents something that's very human without taking an actual human form. So that gets me into thinking, what does it mean to experience a body?
Actually, I also went to that exhibition, and I also remember that particular installation, and I remember how people were, really fascinated by it and queuing up to try it. And I think there's something really interesting about seeing your own body being represented digitally. Do you feel like that?
And being experienced by other people as well, because it was not an individual exhibition, right? It
I
included
guess
many people.
other people were gathering around to kind of see how people were using that. I'm not sure what they were thinking and how they were feeling. I mean, do you think it's sort of alienating to see that representation of your body, or is there an element of intimacy there?
I think there's definitely an element of intimacy that comes with the synchronization, because when everything happens, when you move your body and then you see this object moves with you, like that synchronization is what creates an intimacy. And then because the form is so different, it also gives you a sense of novelty, as if there's kind of an extension into something new that your body can acquire. And that's where the object stops being an object, it becomes something else, it transforms. So I think that's what we're interested about during our research, these ways of transforming something that is not human, like a digital avatar, for example, to become something that has human qualities and reach to a vast amount of people.
Yeah, and in a way, that installation at the Barbican, at that exhibition, it was a visualization of, human data, motion, and, the motion of the human body. And I think that kind of links to one of the ideas that we had for the artifact, whereby we would like to visualize the biometric data of the heart rate, externalize it, and use it, visualize it, and have it at a music set or any sort of collective experience for many people to see. So I think the fact that at this exhibition people seem to be engaging with that is probably a good and promising sign about how people would receive this idea if we were to move forward with it.
And in a way, in this exhibition, the setting allows you to move your own body, but in the setting of a performance, most audiences are passive experiencers, they're passively experiencing the thing. So they don't really actively contribute too much to the motion, but then at the same time, your heartbeat and breathing, that sort of always is there at the background. So in a way, they're like passive motions that can be recorded as your own motion.
Definitely.
I think there is always some sort of engagement in these situations. I mean, whether it's passive, this form of synchronization is something that has also recently been studied a lot. And there have been some researchers, for example, when you watch theater or opera, that actually has shown that your heartbeat can become synchronized with the rest of the audience members' heartbeat, although you might not know the people. So it definitely has something to do with the range of emotions you feel during watching something that connects to you in a way. And what I also find interesting is that these particular studies have been an extension from previous studies that have shown the exact same situation happening between lovers, for example, between people that are experiencing some kind of intimacy. So I think that sparked also an interest in us to find a correlation between watching something that's common to everyone and having intimacy growing while experiencing the performance.
Yeah, I think those kind of intimate, ultimately ultimate intimate relationships, such as the relationship between two lovers, and I think looking at those kind of studies would really help us moving forward to find what intimacy really is. And do you think that the intimacy between two lovers, when taken on a, when brought to sort of a larger collective experience, do you think that intimacy can be preserved in a way, or do you think that it can only exist between two people?
Well, that's an interesting question, and it would be very interesting to further conduct some further research on it because I do not yet have the answer. But there are definitely some findings on the later researches that might show some evidence that more people could have some sort of a similar connection. So I think that's definitely an area that's worth diving into more.
Another area that would be interesting to dive into, is one that came up when we were looking at the article "The Corporeal Body in Virtual Reality" by Craig D. Murray and Judith Sixsmith. It's interesting when thinking about digital representations of the body because they talk about quote unquote disrupted bodies, such as the case of people with phantom limbs and dissociation of the self from the body, paralysis and objectified bodies. You know, it might be interesting to look at these cases in order to provide a context for understanding how embodiment works in virtual reality environments.
Exactly. Virtual environments, since they're very rapidly taking a huge leap during the past years, I think there is a lot of unexplored area to see all the effects that this digital body you are experiencing can have into your experience. And there are some, yeah, sorry.
Oh, I just have a question for you guys later, but if you want to continue.
You can ask it now.
Regarding virtual reality and augmented reality, so far all the technologies are quite visual oriented. Do you guys think that that's kind of a limitation towards this kind of intimacy with this kind of medium? Or do you think we should explore, or like virtual reality or mixed reality should explore more haptic responses? Or do you think there's also other ways of just using visual data to create, you know, the sense of intimacy?
Well, the truth is that the lack of haptic experience during virtual and augmented reality experiences is definitely, I think, a limitation. Although there are still some researches into developing, you know, like gloves and wearables to mimic that haptic feedback.
I think it's No, I was just gonna say, I think we need to be careful about, you know, introducing more and more senses, because the more senses you introduce, the more, you know, like you said, the glove, for example, the more things people will have to buy in order to experience this. And I think one of the limitations of VR right now is its lack of accessibility. And the more, in a way, the more senses that you add, the more gear people will need in order to access this experience. And I think it's interesting to think about how it could become more accessible.
Definitely.
Okay, guys, I think that's all the time that we have for the podcast. So thank you for the talk. And
thank you.